Thank you for listening to this podcast from TheUnheardNerd.com. If you like what you hear, please consider liking, sharing, reviewing, and subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast feed of choice, and help us to keep creating and improving our content. Thank you.
TheUnheardNerd.com.
Sit back, relax, get comfortable. You're tuned in to Word to the Nerd, the interview podcast from TheUnheardNerd.com. My name is Will, and once again, I am joined by Canadian rapper, DJ, and producer, More or Less. We'll be talking all about his new or most recent album, Blow the Fuck Up, But Stay Humble. Enjoy the show.
Listen up, yeah, it's a word to the nerd. Coming through the speakers from the one you never heard. A brand new show you don't want to miss, because you never heard a nerd with a style like this. Nerdcore, hip-hop, 8-bit, pop rock. It's our culture on the rise and it won't stop. Podcast drop, best day of the week. Cause the unheard nerd is about to speak. The unheard nerd is about to speak. The unheard nerd is about to speak.
Are you out of your fucking mind, Spock?
More or less, I'm on the mic, and on the cuts, it's DJ Oli Tiba, all the way from the UK, doing things the right way, and that's with the DJ, and it goes like this. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, settle in, let our friend host a show like Letterman, reveling, clever malevolence, enveloped in eloquence, melanin elements, prevalent, a melden intelligence, hellish for cretins, embellishing how they live.
Joining me for a second time on Word to the Nerd, the interview podcast from TheUnheardNerd.com, is the one and only Canadian legend, More or Less. How are you, sir?
Yo, what's up? I'm good. I'm doing all right, you know?
I finally got my head around the less thing now. We spoke about it on the last podcast, and I still didn't get it because I couldn't understand that in Canada, les could be spoken or pronounced as less. It just did not compute at all.
Right.
But then when we actually met when I was in Toronto earlier in the year, it finally sunk in. You explained it all again for the benefit of my family and me, and it finally sunk in. So ever since then, I have been speaking about you as Les. So hooray, small victory.
Thanks. Language can be often difficult to interpret, comprehend, process. So yeah.
You're helping me. You're facilitating my potential move to Canada by helping me with that potential pitfall. You know, it could be a social occasion that somebody called Les, and I would just make a hash of it and possibly be deported. So I know, you know, it's hard to get into Canada. I don't want to blow it if I do. But that's done, and you know, we're gonna talk about your new record a little bit later on. It's called
cool.
Blow the Fuck Up But Stay Humble.
Yep.
which yeah, interesting title. We'll talk a little bit about how you came up with that. But I want to start really with Han Solo Records and you know, a mutual friend of ours, Thomas. Much more so for you, as you see him regularly, but I talk to him regularly. And the new record's out on Han Solo, but before we talk about it, let's talk about Basements of Bad Men 3, and which is the 20th anniversary release from Han Solo Records. And you appear on there a few times, I think, but the track I'm thinking of in particular is your track with Record Face. Track 15, and the title escapes me, but I can look that up. I'm sure you know it.
It's all good. It's called Drugs. It's very simple.
It is. I should remember that, but I only ever listen in the car, and I don't have the liner notes to hand while I'm driving. But yeah, absolutely, out of all the tracks on there, my favourite. And it's quite a heavy track.
Oh, geez, thank you very much. It is. It was sort of a unreleased B-side for a single release that we did for Heads Down, which is another song from, like, an original song from our EP that Record Face and I did together. And so I'm always interested in trying to provide some sort of extra treats, because I know that, you know, some of my favorite MCs would do stuff like that all the time, where there'd be sort of, you know, hidden tracks, unreleased stuff, that kind of thing. And so it fit in the theme of the EP. I was trying to sort of handle a few heavy duty subjects along the way in that EP, and that song "Drugs" just being one of them. So yeah, it was something where I decided to take a point of view that express a point of view that people don't really ever talk about or want to address, because for the most part, people like rappers are very comfortable with not talking about anything serious, or if they get to a subject like people taking drugs and the pharmaceutical industry, that they're very happy to say that all of it is evil, no question, and should all be burned to the ground. And I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that medicine as an industry definitely has its problems. By no means am I trying to say that any of this is clear cut and easy going, but definitely people, you know, have issues and often need help, and that help can sometimes come through medication, and people sometimes quite flatly ignore that or want to absolutely paint it in a negative light as their reason for not having to discuss it or address it or think about it. And I wanted to just tackle an uncomfortable topic.
Yeah. 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 Anyone ask you how you feeling, and the reply you wanna give is grab the neck and put the head into the ceiling. To some of y'all that's seeming like an overreaction, and I'm sure it is, but if your hurt is big and your stress is just a giant molten pit just under the surface ready to explode from a poultry shit, I totally get you would get upset. A lot of folks do live in this fashion, relaxing just won't exist for these peeps, y'all. A seesaw of emotions when your peeps fall into this category. Is it a story where you be dog? It ain't nothing, life's a bitch, and keep fronting. It might be something like lights don't switch on properly under the proper context in the brain. A lot accept some insane concepts, but not flex with the same regard for parts. Heads needn't change from large effects to the main thoughts. Rock, what'll help with the pain is drugs.
Music as well is verging on almost a metal sound in a very hip hop way, and that is what really appeals to me. But you got the cuts on there as well, which presumably you provided.
Yes,
and it's just a really heavy track, and my favorite by far off of that record. Again, I have no hope of reviewing this record because it's just too big. It's far too big. But
it's a double album, which none of us really expected. But it just turned out that Thomas was getting so much material from, you know, folks who have been on the label or are currently on the label, that he just felt it was appropriate to just throw all of it out there to the public.
Mm. Well, I've spoken with, again, your good friend Word Burglar on the show before, and he explained how Basements of Badman, the original, you know, first release, had such a big influence on him, and how he was desperate to make sure he got onto the second release when that came along a few years later. Was this something you aspired to as well? Is it important? I mean, you know, being removed from the local scene, how relevant are these releases, and how relevant is Han Solo Records to the local scene?
Well, I would say that, you know, this record that he released is sort of more of a landmark as to what's happened, you know, in those 20 years from the first release, and for the folks that are involved in it that you know span the country, not just Toronto, because the whole thing started in like his interest in these hip hop artists started in the East Coast, and like, you know, sort of grew from there. And I just feel like it's more of a representation as to what's gone on, as to like, I don't know, being significant to the scene. I'm not sure. I mean, it definitely is a valuable record. It's nice to see all of these guys, you know, still doing their thing. The other artists that are on there that aren't, you know, part of my crew, still out, still making good music, you know. So that's good to hear.
Yeah. And so how did you get involved with Han Solo?
Basically through Word Burglar. You know, he was doing some work for Han Solo, and then I was interested in getting, you know, some ulterior support from what I was doing before with some other labels. And yeah, just sort of a relationship just sort of blossomed from there. And I would say Thomas was a bit surprised initially at how, I guess, for lack of a better term, polished that my new album sounds compared to, you know, some of the other like releases through Han Solo. But I don't know, still fits, I think, you know. Still a good opportunity to get that, like, you know, like to work with Thomas and Han Solo to get my music out to as many people as possible.
Yeah. Well, your last release, I mean, we alluded to it briefly with Record Face, post Millennium Tension.
Yeah.
Again, obviously through Han Solo Records. So was Drugs a contender for the album that didn't make it? Because I kind of find that hard to believe. It's such a good track.
No, it actually kind of came after the EP, to be honest. I was interested in doing some more work with Record Face, and I got to hear a bunch of songs, like a bunch of instrumentals that he was working on, and that one was high on a list, on a short list. And I just, you know, unfortunately haven't had a chance to work with the other instrumentals that I was interested in as well. I was hoping, you know, some of that stuff would make it to the to my new album. It didn't quite happen, but that's okay, because it just means more material for next time. So we had started, like, I listened to that, and then Thomas and I had started on, you know, a single release for Heads Down, and then it just kind of made sense to get that song Drugs going.
Well, the track, the release, Post Millennium Tension, didn't come out that long ago, actually. Was it June 2015, longer than I expected, actually. It doesn't feel like it came out that long ago. But I really enjoyed that release in its entirety. I think that just like the topic, or the look at society today, our relationship with technology and our reliance on technology, and how easily we give away our information online without even realizing, and the whole thing really hit home. But also just some of the more comical observations as well, like Busy. I mean, absolutely nail on the head there. Ask someone how they're doing and they'll just say, I'm busy, and it happens almost daily.
Yep.
Uncanny. That track in particular struck a chord with me. I mean, how do you know Record Face? How have you come to work with Record Face?
It was a combo of a few things, I think. It's like, you know, he did work with Fritz the Cat, who's a MC, so what's up and big ups to him. The two of them have a group together called OK Cobra, and they did some releases with Thomas's help and that sort of thing. And, well, I just kind of, you know, I've known Fritz for years now, but I had never met Record Face until actually when we were performing the EP was the first time I actually met him face to face. We had talked online off and on for maybe a year or two, sort of very sporadically, and I just sort of threw that out as an idea, like, hey, if you've got any instrumentals, I would love to hear them. I was in a place at the time that it was a good moment for me to reach out to him to more formally, to try and say, hey, I'd love to work on some material if you'd be down with that. You know, let me know what kind of beats you have, and we could get to, you know, trying to see if we could work together. And he was extremely excited at the idea, and which was great. And then he started sending me stuff, and I was just floored, because, you know, so many of his drum tracks, like, are just amazing. Like, he's just really, really, really good with drums. And I started to hear a variety of instruments of styles that he can work with. And it's been great. Demos that he sent me, you know, he's the kind of guy that would build on the music. So what I would hear wasn't ever going to be the end result. And that's okay, because, you know, he just fortified what he had started. You know, with some producers, it sometimes becomes, you sometimes get surprised by the end result, because they've decided that they're really not happy with how the initial sort of demo sounded compared to what they want to be the complete, like, completed piece. So then they end up, like, reworking it, you know, immensely, and sometimes you come out the other end with something nowhere near what you had started with and wanted. And when that happens, it becomes sort of difficult to manage, because then you're surprised. You're just sort of like, oh, well, this isn't really where I imagined it going. But with Record Face, that wasn't the case. He, you know, just sort of fortified what he had worked on and made things sound really dope. So I'm happy the way those tracks turned out. It's great.
So, I mean, you are a DJ, you are a producer. I mean, how do you make that call? I mean, what is it, just, you know, circumstance that says, okay, well, this producer's got, you know, these beats going on, and how hard do you find it to not get involved with that side, the production side, when you have a talent, you're clearly going to have opinions on it, you're going to have thoughts. I mean, I don't know, what do you prefer, to have a producer on board to provide, you know, beats for you to rap over, or do you prefer actually just making everything from scratch?
I like both. I'm just really more a bigger fan, bottom line, of something sounding really awesome and catching my ear. And I don't even really always try, like, I don't always try to start with, like, an idea of, I want songs to sound like this and this, and then I'm going to get somebody to do that. It's very often starting with, oh man, this sounds amazing. I'd like to, like, work off of something like this. And here we go. And so it becomes a organic process in that respect. With my own album, or actually with both things, like my own album that came out recently and with Postmillennium Tension, the themes came from me. Like I came to Record Face basically with the idea of wanting to work together, but that was the extent of it when it started. And then I, after hearing, you know, some more beats, started developing an idea, and I already had some of these song concepts rolling around in my head. And then it sort of just became more obvious after listening to more of his beats, like, oh yeah, we could really, like, he's got darker stuff than I can produce, you know, with my own, like, talents, the way things have gone thus far. And it's like, I'd like to play off of that. Let's try this and try this idea over that song. And then that's sort of how the concept for the album, for the EP, I should say, came about, and how we went from there. So it's, for me, the process changes with pretty much every project and every producer. I sort of hate being locked into one sort of idea, where if the producer decides, oh, all the songs must sound like this, this is the style that we're going to do together, I'm not really interested in working with someone like that. You know, I'm more interested in trying to, you know, build off of each other's ideas, you know. And luckily, thankfully, all the producers I've worked with thus far are more willing to defer to me in regards to how it gets shaped and that sort of thing. You know, no one's really said to me, oh, I don't really like that you rapped about, you know, like Cornish hens on this song. I would have preferred that you rapped about robbing banks. You know, I really think you've done it a disservice. Like, nobody does that. So, thank goodness.
Well, yeah, that would be incredibly rude and such an odd thing to say too. But,
yes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, which did your latest record, Blow the Fuck Up But Stay Humble, did you start that process after you'd finished Post Millennium Tension, or was that, did it start before? Has it been an ongoing process?
There's always overlap for me, always. Like Mastication, as an example, that album a while ago, concepts for that started while I was, you know, working on the Less Kills EP, but really just concepts. And later on, I had decided I was going to do just like an EP where half the EP would be of a certain subject and the other half would be about food only. And after a while, you know, other songs came about, and I just sort of thought like, oh, this is silly. Why would I just do half an album, essentially like four tracks or something on this food subject? I'm just going to go whole hog and do a full album. And then the next thing I knew, I was doing a remix EP or a remix album for it as well, because there was an opportunity to release some other like material that I didn't get a chance to do with the first release, first version essentially of Mastication. So then Fill It Will turned out. And then in between those, working on those projects, some of the songs that ended up on this album, like I had started some of the beats. That are mine, and songs eventually came for this album came out of those beats. So it really is just for me an organic process. Like I've started two other projects in the midst of working on the Fill It Will EP, remix album, and my beat tape that happened lunch breaks, and working on Blow the Fuck Up. There are a couple other projects that technically I've already started, but I'm still on the fence as to where those fit in and that sort of thing. But there are a couple things, there are a couple of missiles in the silo ready to launch, basically. Don't dare to act, fight stuff from errors that make all the dudes say, what are you staring at? Still won't compare to that. Googling of the better half makes all the ladies say, chill, don't dare to act, fight stuff from errors that make all the dudes say, what are you staring at? Still won't compare to that. Googling of the better half makes all the ladies say, what are you staring at? The aspiration to be well-mannered marks out savages from the civilization. Human beings have forgotten their manners. Went out with a model and her friend just to chill. Got the hookup everywhere we went and men pressed to kill. Me, thinking to replace less just fills the whole life with some fortune and fame. Fuck that, let's get real. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's an organic process. For me to get to a point where I say, I'm going to start this specific project and work on it, you know, it's a great moment because it's like it's that fun moment of buckling down and having a very specific direction, you know, like hammered down and like tied down. It's like, yeah, I'm just gonna do this and this is what's gonna happen, and great, it gives some focus and that's awesome. But at the same time, I'm always like, I'm interested in music, so things are just happening. Ideas pop into my head and I record them, you know, like I'm humming stuff, like I've got a whole bunch of recordings in my phone all the time of stuff that I'm humming for whatever, you know, might turn into a song in the future and might not. And you know, as an example, the song on my new album that I did with Mocha Only, called Despicable, started as just, I was working on another beat for another song, and the song didn't make it to the album. I was very frustrated with how the beat was going, and I was just mucking around with finding new drums for that song.
Yeah! Yeah, come on. Stream of conscious rap. Uh-huh. Mocha O guest on the track. What up, Mo? And it goes like this. More or less. Here we go, come on. Challenging, that's what this ought to be. Hard to be done right, like you want hype and you won't invest in your artistry. No big money without big money, kid, you're better off taking up carpentry. Big bag of humble instead, you take two of these a coffin sleeves. Cause I'm allergic to the bullshit to flip you honestly. You hate big words and writing compositions, you're a target beat.
Naysayers invent new ways to lament. Rhymesayers intent beyond payment of rent. To make a dent in an era and a time where it almost feel like being unique is a crime. If you're speaking sublime, they don't want to build you a shrine or even try to take the time to walk in your mind. My mind is a minefield, the rhyme yields designs. From lethal to therapeutically inclined. The work is a grind when your card is declined. I climb mountains in this fountain of youth, all for the shine. All through the night, all through the ultimate finds. I'm the public act blind, I want to slap them with my rhyme books. It's despicable.
I just started playing a rhythm by accident, and it was offbeat compared to what I had started with, and it sounded great. And then I just sort of cataloged that for later, and I went back to it, you know, partway through the album process, and started building on it, and it just became more and more to my liking. I started writing to it. I just really wanted to work with Mocha Only. Luckily, he was down with doing the track, because it is a bit of an odd beast, that song in particular, and he was just willing to go with it, and it turned into this very awesome song. So these, like a lot of this stuff for me, is happening organically, like very just kind of off the cuff, build on it, see what I can do with it, see if it turns into something good, rework it, that kind of thing.
At the beginning of the process, do you go into an album with a sort of defined idea of what you want it to be? Is there a message, or is there a sound, or is there, you know, an overriding thing
More so these days, you know, things start organically, but I do eventually like to gain some focus with the project, and it'll, you know, once I've established certain, you know, ideas, concepts, rules, it helps direct where things are going. And so with this album in particular, I did have a very strong idea of where I wanted to take it. It's still, like with anybody doing art, I'm sure you could have this conversation with anybody artistic, and they'll tell you like, I didn't quite get it where I wanted it to be. And the same could be said of this project. Like, there are certain topics that I did want to tackle. It didn't make it to the album, you know, c'est la vie, you know, because everything I worked on, everything that did make it to the album, I wanted to be there. It had a purpose, it had a meaning, it needed to be there, and that was great. There are a couple of songs I worked on for this album that didn't make it. I stopped sort of halfway through the song, or I writing it, or I got partway through like making the beat, and it just didn't coalesce because other things were much more defined and much more fitting into what I like, the ideas I had, the plan that developed. So with this album, yeah, in particular, I had a bit more focus once things started, once the ball got rolling on the beats and instrumentals I was getting from other producers, it just, ideas sort of came to the forefront, and it helped me with dealing with some of the other producers on the album as well, to be able to say, well, this other beat that they made, like beat number A is dope, but beat B actually, you know, is more fitting into the theme of the album. I'll ask him if he could maybe tweak it and, you know, just try and fit into this sort of aspect. And yeah, that happened a couple times, and things turned out well. Really happy how this album turned out.
Yeah, I mean, it's great from start to finish. There's not a skipper on there. When we spoke in, it was late August, I think it was, you said, I think, if I recall correctly, you said the album was around about two-thirds done. So things must have skipped on quite quickly from when I saw you to get it complete and out in November. Is that the case, or?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of pushing for me, I guess, determination to get this finished and out before the end of the year, because I just wanted that to happen. And maybe to my detriment to some degree, perhaps, with trying to, you know, get the word out properly and get things going. But I don't know, I mean, it's I'm glad it's turned out, you know. Yeah. I'm really happy that it's out, and it's been getting, you know, positive feedback from people, and that's always great to hear.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you've got a great rep anyway in amongst, yeah, from anyone I hear talking about you anyway. I mean, yeah, especially for your ability to rap and your multi-syllabic, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
I don't think about it.
Thanks. It was a bit more determined to bring it on this album, so to speak. And it's not to say that that didn't happen previously, but really just wanted to like just challenge myself and push myself with this release, and that a lot of that sort of happened. And you know, there's a fine line, I guess, between for myself, between pushing it so that it makes sense and so that it's, you know, good and pushing things to the forefront, and just sort of beating myself in the head to say like this isn't good enough. But I luckily, you know, skirted that line and without going too crazy in either direction, and just getting it done.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's very evident right from the first track, Pon Father Lithium, where you've got, you're rapping really fast, and it's a cappella as well in some parts. Just fantastic. And that track, I think, is it produced by Ollie Tiber?
He's on the cuts.
He's
so
on the cuts, right.
Yeah, so we did an interesting thing where I basically handled the production. I took some samples and put them together in a way that was, you know, kind of interesting for that concept. Like, I was trying to deliver something that sounded like a DJ just grabbed a record and just played a bunch of parts from the same record in a loop kind of concept. And luckily, Ollie Tiber was down to do that. So big ups to Ollie Tiber out in Twickenham. And yeah, just he brung it. So that's great.
Yeah,
great.
Well, Ollie Tiber is one part of Herbalizer. They're a UK rare groove duo. I think it's duo, isn't it?
Yeah, it started as a duo. They sort of expanded into to include the band members that have been playing with them for years. Yeah, tight unit. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I became familiar with them when Ghetto Socks was over, actually, and I sat down and had breakfast with him, and you know, we recorded an interview in London in a cafe, which was great. And he was on tour with them. He was going around Europe with them, and I became familiar there. But you also have performed with them, haven't you?
Yeah. I had an opportunity to perform with them a few years back. It started with the performances. You know, we sort of gained a rapport, and then they were discussing recording material for their next album. We recorded a bunch of vocals for me, of material stuff. It's, you know, unfortunately, a bunch of it didn't make it to the album. But it's all good. They went with a couple songs, and yeah, it's been awesome.
TheUnheardNerd.com. This goes out to those of you, you know who, need to face the truth. Yo,
your accent is fake. You're not from down south of the United States. Your accent is fake. You're not from Jamaica, you just do that on stage. Your accent is fake.
Sorry if you're embarrassed, it's your mistake. If you were playing a character, I'd agree, but you don't live in America and had to put on a face. A mask to add some attitude when you make shitty ass music as the soup of the day. Some don't even know they're doing it, assume that's the way that they make tracks, just play that they live in the States when they're just visitors. No green card, this shit here I've seen lots of. The theme's not love, thinking you're paying homage to music that you covered. If you loving your own voice, I bet you wouldn't even bother with this fuckery. Between that of a rape scene and Rob Ford with his patois at the State Queen. Maybe that's too hyperbolic when a lot of different people live in different cultures that don't simply follow color lines. Clearly,
not a thing that I mind. You don't wanna be yourself, but what you wanna be's a lie. When that's the case, I don't wanna see my time wasted for some of this entertainment, just saying shit that's racist. Like,
she's trying to sound black,
but there's more to this. Black rappers try to hide the origins when the place to form is on a sort of thin ice for being lit. See the fix, tweak your spit, be the shit. Boom, problem solved, that a fix for us all. Or just subtly eroding any chance to get on with originality. Your cultural appropriation feels wrong, knowing where you're from when I hear your song.
Your accent is fake.
It's fake bullshit.
You're not from down south of the United States.
No shit.
Your accent is fake.
You need to stop that shit.
You're not from New York, you're just in love with that place. Your accent is fake. You're not from Jamaica, you just do that on stage.
Yeah, man.
Your accent is fake.
And that's bullshit, and that's bullshit, it's fake bullshit, and that's bullshit, and that's bullshit. It's bullshit.
I'm having a hard time figuring out who actually produced the whole record. I'm assuming it's you, because you're listed as executive producer. But were there other people involved in making the music?
So the lion's share of the production is me. Half the tracks on the album were produced by me. All the cuts are by me. There are a few producers on it. Four of the tracks on the album are produced by Diggs, who is a Canadian producer. He did I'm pretty sure he did all of the beats on Shad's first album. Shad's a Canadian artist here, known. He was a host on CBC, our version of the BBC, radio, on a host for a radio show for a bit. So Diggs worked with him on his first album, and luckily, and also works with the Mighty Rhino, and I was lucky enough to get Diggs on a few beats on the album. So he's got four tracks on there, dope stuff. Fresh Kills has a track on there, of course, part of the Backburner crew, so that's great. Same thing, Mr. E has two tracks on the album that he produced, Icarus, which is a posse cut, and another track, Staring Contest, that we did together with Swamp Thing. And just to clarify, so the Kills beat is No Turning Back, the song that we did with Blueprint and the Mighty Rhino. So big ups to those MCs, and just a few tracks going on with a few other producers on the album, but I handled like half the production.
Well, like everyone I've met from Canada, Fresh Kills is an absolutely lovely person to speak to. I don't know if it was last year or the year before, I also got the opportunity to speak with him when he was in London with Prem Rock. And I spoke with him for, I don't know, maybe 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes, and just absolutely engrossed. I love the man. I fell in love with him. So nothing but love for Fresh Kills. So you mentioned the Mighty Rhino, who appears on No Turning Back, and yes, he's in the video for Cuppa as well.
Yes, yes, yeah. He makes a visual appearance, a guest appearance in that video. Yeah, so it's great.
Why Cuppa as the first video and single? I personally, and you know, it works well, but I wouldn't have chosen that as a first choice.
There were a couple options to consider, but Cuppa was going to be one of the easiest to facilitate. Quite honestly, because it's always just about, you know, who I'm working with on the video production, what their time is like, what their resources are, and just coming up with concepts for videos. So I tossed around a few ideas on a couple of songs, but that one, you know, struck me the first and the hardest. So I talked to those guys that I did end up working with, Endless Films, and we just were really, you know, sinking in terms of concepts, and so we discussed a bunch of ideas, and that's what turned out, which I'm glad. It's a good result. Yeah. And I performed the song as sort of a preview, I guess you could say. That beat was, and most of that song was actually made like a year ago, almost up to a year ago, and I had performed it a couple times here and there, and the response was huge. Like, people were very, very, very much liking what they heard. And so I was like, great, I'll like, you know, that was on the list of things to start with. There were a couple other video ideas. There are a couple other things that could still happen in the future. I don't want to make any promises I can't keep, but yeah, there could be some other possibilities, absolutely.
Not black or just censor the fun part. Do not laugh, I'm a mensch with a hunt spot. Times 10K, sensei, echo your thoughts. Rappers should get on, get wrecked, get gone. Instead it's often black and T.O. just some prissy clones. Informal steps with blue, your stick of rich be wrong. Hurry up and get on that Kickstarter kick to get your bones. Right like Cairo, money won't decide your worth, but I work, so what the fuck do I know? Trying to make a gem that'll shake up your spinal. Instead of write a rap about comic books and Philo. Pastry, hate me, that's a world that I don't really know, cause I don't go on YouTube to find your racist comments to recheck your Chuck E. Cheese. I'm not a player, I just eat. Don't like the flavor of mesquite, then why you grilling? Rappers play the villain like children, you ain't gonna hide the villains. I'm willing to let the skills speak for itself. Ditch the homophobia, Obia from Guyana, raise the shit up by Sokovia. Use words for nerds and herbs suffer. Along with my career, but clear, I'm no sucker. If you appreciate my pain, what up? Cause I know what I say is not everyone's cup up. It's plain, my lane is not what the kids would call gangster, thanks to my mother. But if you like my shit, then I love ya. Cause I know what I say is not everyone's cup up.
The concept is interesting for the video. I mean, it leads you down one sort of path. You know, it looks like it's going to be possibly a standard rap video, and then... and then it takes a different journey, far less sinister journey. Spoilers. Who came up with that? Presumably, you came up with that idea, but did you have help to hone it and to mold it?
Yes. So I started the conversation with these guys that worked on it, and they threw in their own ideas as well, and we just really had a good. Good synergy in our corporate discussions. So I'm always willing to defer to the direction of the filmmakers, because really it's not just about the music when you're making a music video. Obviously the visual component is a huge one, and it isn't to say that, you know, I can't come up with ideas or anything like that, but it's great to be working with people who are like-minded and have, you know, and come up with something sharp that you didn't think of, and you lend your talent to that as best you can, and we roll with it, and you just, you know, you have to trust that their editing skills, their concepts, the idea of where they want to take it, you know, are going to work out. And you know, I've happily worked with everyone I've worked with on a video. I'm happy to say it's been great. The turnout, the results been great. I've been able to, you know, put my talent in their hands, and they molded it very well. We went with it, whatever the concept was, and things turned out to be good.
Well, it all looks familiar now that I am very familiar with Toronto, obviously. My 2 weeks there, I'm an expert. But I obviously recognise the Silver Snail because I was dragging my wife and kids in there weekly to pick up my comics. You know, even on holiday, you got to pick up your reads.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I recognise the store, and even a couple of the people in shot there. And you read a few books in the video. You have a few books there. What are you reading at the moment? We'll go off on a little tangent.
Sure. I'm of course into Saga or Sega, however you want to pronounce it.
Saga.
Yeah. Sure. Let's go with that. Saga is awesome. It is a fantastic comic book. Oh my god! I'm so happy that got introduced to me by Word Burglar. And I've been devoutly devouring all of the trade paperbacks that they've been making. I'm not when I really, really, it's hard to say with me. Like, sometimes I really love something so much that I'll stop collecting the trade paperbacks and go straight for the single issues because I'm so anxious to see what happens, to read what happens next. And that happened for me with The Sword, which came out like about, I don't know, 5 years back, 4 years back, something like that, with the Luna Brothers. Oh, geez, I think it might have been longer than that, that it's been out. So I was collecting the trade paperbacks feverishly, and then, you know, I reached it reached a big climax, and I just was like, man, forget this. I'm just going to get single issues. I don't want to miss what's happening next. And yeah, so Saga, but I'm willing to wait for trade paperbacks because then I get a full story, and it's great.
I hear what you say. I got onto Saga very late, and I haven't got anywhere near as far as you, I'm sure. But I've only got through probably the first three trade paperbacks, but it is simply one of the best comics forever. It's amazing.
Yes.
But
yes,
like you, I really. Well, I'm not probably as feverish as you about it. I do want to keep. I've been getting them from the library. We have a library here that has a fantastic selection of graphic
Excellent.
Novels, but they don't always have the one you need next.
Right,
because somebody else has got it.
There are a bunch of comics that I need to catch up on myself. I've heard good things about Black Widow, so I need to get into that. I only recently finished collecting the Hawkeye series that was solo series that was done recently in the last year,
yeah.
and that just was phenomenal, like so well done.
Yeah, I couldn't get into it. I didn't really like the style of the art, which I'm an old creature. I like aesthetics first, and then worry about the story after. And the two have to be good. I couldn't get on with it. But perhaps I need to get
some of the artwork. I can't remember the artist's names right off the top of my head, unfortunately. Some of the artwork was taken over by a different artist partway through. That artist, unfortunately, I didn't really like that much, but the story was so well done and it was sort of in what I didn't know at the time, but it was sort of like an in-between point, and so I was still in because I wanted to get to the end of the story. And then the previous artist came back, and yeah, things in that comic for me very great. I very very much liked how that story turned out.
Because
they rarely address in these comics, especially in Marvel comics, they rarely address heroes that don't actually have powers and are just like, how does this person end up fighting alongside these like incredible minds or like super strong people or these folks with weird energy powers or something? Like, how does that happen? And you get a better sense of that with the Hawkeye solo story, and it's great. And it also features his protege, essentially. Kate Bishop is this character that is part of the Young Avengers at some point. And you know, if you're more familiar with DC, they have those kind of like, you know, superhero teams that happen, like Junior Justice League sort of thing. And you just, I don't know, it doesn't happen that often in Marvel, so it becomes a bit of a groaner when it does happen.
Yeah.
And it's good to see that these things are sometimes handled very well. And Kate Bishop in the Hawkeye solo series, you know, it like so much of that series is just done tongue in cheek that it's it's great. It's just very well written. Very, very, very well done.
I might have to go back and give that another go. Sounds.
And a New Vision series as well. New Vision trade paperback about the comic Avengers character, the Vision,
yeah,
is phenomenal. Like, just so well done. I haven't always been happy with the inks done with the work, but overall, just very, very well written. Very, just very interesting. Just a very interesting take on the Vision and his place in the Avengers and just how all that goes. Very glad to see that happen.
Strict gun laws make a North American mad. If everybody got a gat, then it's a weapon of mass destruction. Up in your bedroom drawer, when one's too much, bunch of fucks need more for protection. But a question, who protects us from you with your broke reflexes? An emotional state in the toilet, oh boy, it's a recipe for disaster that you're chefing. I'm stressing, too many cooks up in the kitchen, you're missing. Instead of the crook that you were wishing to hit up, you lit up innocence on a trip into the Eaton Center. Lots of men and women, from cops to astronauts, rock blocks, legit, and lots with mental props, also pop civilians. You want them all locked up, the citizens with rights. You exercise yours to be a dick and fight your battles with a way to take a victim's life. 7 degrees away from getting clips despite your nice demeanor. Get slightly meaner, defend your stuff. But what justifies the need to kill? Check England, then check Japan. Yeah. It's possible to live in a place with a ban. Yeah. On handguns and rifles, it's trifle to say you needed to hunt. You live in the burb cycle.
Know that what you're hearing might come off as just talk. Truth is not a single person wants to get shot.
Let's talk a little bit more about the record, and there's quite a few people featured on there that I am not familiar with, haven't heard or come across before. Some that I have, obviously, Word Burglar and Swamp Thing are on there. Schaefer the Dark Lord, who most nerdy rap fans will be familiar with,
yes.
But not somebody I expected to pop up on the record. I was quite surprised of the names that appear that I recognize. That surprised me. So how did that happen?
I've had the opportunity in the last few years to perform at South by Southwest music festival in Austin, Texas, and you know, through like performing and stuff and meeting other people, meeting like-minded people. And Jesse Dangerously is part of Backburner. He had the chance to perform in a nerdcore based show.
Yes.
And so through him, you know, I got to meet some of the other performers at this. And then eventually Word Burglar and myself got to be performing at nerdcore based rap shows in Austin as part of the festival, and just really, really have come to love, like, you know, the people that I've met, the folks living in Austin that have part of this nerdcore rap community, you know, that are coming out as fans to the shows, that have, you know, helped us out while we're staying in Austin. You know, the other performers themselves, and just really enjoying their material, their performances, and then becoming like getting to know them better and performing with them and recording with them. And so Schaefer is just one of those dudes that is just really, like, you know, he's a good egg.
Yo, Schaefer, man.
Yo, what up, Les?
I don't know what it is with dudes these days, man.
I don't either, man.
A lot of them talk about being manly.
Right.
But they're not manly men.
No.
And they're far from it.
Word.
But you and me, we're perfect examples of manliness.
Yo,
you know the real
man,
deal.
They're calling your name.
Oh, hold up. Peach tea and almond croissant? Yo, that's me over here, dog. Manly. That's what I am with a coaster, so I don't leave wet spots on tables or sofas. Most of dudes that go to the bathroom are just dirty rubes while I wash hands like I'm supposed to. Won't ya? Note the dip between a rose and white, but you won't, cause you have no smell of sight. Yo, it's close to what you're telling me, with no sense of thee. Need to have sliced apples with crackers and a bit of cheese.
Tough guy, that's what people call me in my city. Keep my man cave tidy, got a purebred kitty. Spitting over wicked bangers, though I call them little ditties. When I take a break, I bump the biggest hits of Britney. Lit the lavender oil diffuser tea lights, got the calming properties, plus it smells real nice. Never leave the house unshaven or disheveled. I'm a big bad grown man, get on our level.
You know, I approached him with an idea of recording something on the record. He was down with that. I eventually came up with the concept through that by him. He was excited to work on that, which was great. And the beat, unfortunately, came last in this process, where I finally figured out, like, from some other instrumentals, you know, from Diggs, I'm like, this has got to be the one. I hope that you know, Schaefer is into this. He said, hell yeah, and we got to work, and that's what turned up. I really wanted to have something on the record to just, you know, take this poke at people, you know, about this concept of rappers have to be these manly hardcore dudes at all times, and you know, Schaefer's manipulation of the English language in rhyme form is off the scale. Like, really, he's just one of those guys that I feel doesn't get enough respect and enough shine for how he's delivering it. And the guy's a phenomenal. You know, his live show is very high energy, very, very full of sarcasm, very, very fun. And I'm glad that I had the opportunity to work with him and lend his multi-syllabic sarcasm to what I was interested in doing. So it was, turned out to be great.
Well, the track is called Man Up, and it sounds a lot more within his comfort zone than I would expect from you, but I'm surprised to hear that was your concept and that he, I mean, it seems a natural fit for him. But it is a great track, and I love the whole feel of it, and like you say, the poke at how a man is expected to be in the rap world.
Yep.
You've got some really strong female vocalists on the record.
Yes. So Latte D Kid has appeared on previous projects that I've worked on. You know, she and I met like years ago, and it's just been, you know, she's been kind of part of the more or less thing since day one. To, you know, like, to be honest, like, once I started recording, you know, I had met her pretty soon after I'd started recording the first album, and yeah, just like, I don't know, like-minded individuals and wanting to work on music in similar style. And I'm just, you know, her and I lost touch for a little bit of time, and I'm just glad that she was available and willing to lend her voice to the album. Like, she's always very kind and willing to just like jump in, you know, I mean, you know, like anybody working on music and art, if she's not really down with a concept, she won't, you know, she's not gonna beat around the bush with that kind of stuff. She'll say like, you know, I'm not really interested in doing things like this or doing things this way. And with us, you know, we're just have similar interests in this music and stuff and where we want to take it, that doesn't even really come into play. It really just, she's down to do it. I'm glad she got on the album. It's been missing, you know, she hasn't been on the last few projects. And I like having, you know, certain themes with my work and how I do things. And Latte being involved, you know, was kind of part of that, you know, along with Word Burglar, along with members of Backburner. And so I'm glad that it we managed to make that happen for this release. So it's great. She, you know, is rapping and singing on the song Get Sex, and she appears singing on the other song Get Shot, which is sort of the sister song to that first one. Stina Baum also is on the album. So I, and again, this is partly just being in circles of music circles in Toronto. You know, I got to hear her material from another MC. I can't remember who off the top of my head was the other person, but I got to hear her stuff. I checked out her work on Bandcamp, and then her and I got to talking. I was just like, really excited, like, hey, I would really like to work on some music with you. You know, I feel like we have similar interests in where we want to take this music. Would you be down for that? And she said yes. And we went through a couple of beats and ideas, and she kind of took the lead on Tequila, and it's great, you know. And it really just forced that song to be what it was. It was great delivery, great turnout, great result.
There's only a couple of other names on the release that I'm not familiar with. We've got Rena Valunas.
Yes, so Rena is an awesome singer that's just was hanging out with folks with Swamp Thing, and so I just got to know her through those guys, and yeah, just kind of the stars aligned on that one. I really wasn't sure if it was going to happen. And I just caught her at a good time. She said she was down to do it, and it really just helped mix that song, you know, what it is. And so I'm glad I got her to appear on that as well.
And the only other name that I feel like I should know, and probably maybe I have heard somewhere else, but Rel McCoy?
Oh yeah, Rel McCoy used to go by Relic.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so Relic has made appearances on other back burner related stuff, Swamp Thing. Yeah, he's been on quite he's made an appearance quite a few times here and there. With Timbuktu solo release stuff. His album, The 13th Floor, was exclusively produced by Fresh Kills. Yeah, like, you know, big ups to Rel McCoy. He's been at it for quite some time, and him and I have chatted before. We were both at South by Southwest a few years ago and got to just, you know, chop it up with him, and luckily he was down to appear on this album, and his verse on that song on Icarus is tight. I'm really, really glad that you know, we got him on.
Yeah, so I mean, the whole album is like I say, fantastic. I genuinely mean that. I didn't, you know, perhaps get on with some of your earlier releases,
right?
Yeah, you know, perhaps, you know, if I listened to them when they first came out, maybe, but going back now and
right,
knowing what you've done now, you know, not so listenable for me, but this latest release and in fact, you know, Post Millennium Tension as well, I've really, really enjoyed these two an awful lot. So I am definitely going to burn Blow the Fuck Up and get it in my car. I didn't have time to do it before I got out the house this morning. In fact, I put Peter Project's Coins Project, the recent mashup that's blown up recently.
Oh, Daft Science.
Yeah, Beastie Boys and Daft Punk, you know, remix. Really, it's not a mashup as such, is it? He's really done a lot of work on that, and he was very kind enough to send that to me when it wasn't available for download.
Right.
I just blasted that on my way to where I was going this morning, which woke me up and got the cobwebs off. I'm going to be speaking to Peter soon on the show as well. He's going to an interview, because I didn't really get to speak to him when we met in Toronto.
Right.
He had to shoot off, and I hadn't realised he was going, so I didn't get the chance. So if you had one question for Peter Project that I should definitely ask, what is that?
this is good. This is challenging. One question specific to Peter Project, aka Coins. Ask him how his robot's doing.
His robot.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really ambiguous. That could be anything. Okay, we'll leave it there. I will ask that question.
Yeah, and if he needs more help after that, you can elaborate on his cardboard robot project. Ask him how his robot's doing.
Okay, right, that's great. Perfect. Thank you. Blow the Fuck Up, Stay Humble is out now. It's available through Han Solo Records. You can find it at hansolorecords.bandcamp.com. And if you want to be specific, that's /album/blow-the-fuck-up-stay.
Google it.
I'm regretting that choice.
Just Google it. More or less with one S. Blow the Fuck Up and Stay Humble. Just Google it. It'll be found. It's on all the online music spots. It's on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. It's Bandcamp. It's out. It's out and everywhere. It is. Thanks for checking it out and being interested in it. So, you know, I wanted to try and address some of the crazy, like, ego-centric lives that rappers are, you know, displaying these days. And for people to know that they're just, you know, not everybody is feeling that stuff, like is, you know, really interested in that as the way of life. And so, you know, I'm glad that people are checking it out and appreciating the music so far. It's great.
Absolutely. If I was to play one track right now from the album, which track should I play?
You should definitely play Hate Rap featuring Word Burglar, produced by Beat Mason. That's where it's at.
Yeah, good choice. Where can people find you online?
They can find me at moreless.ca. That's with one S. of course, MOREORLES.ca to be more precise. And folks can also find me on, like I said, on Bandcamp, on SoundCloud. On SoundCloud, it's Rapper More or Less. And on Twitter, it's Brunch or Less. The guy who has, there's some other guy online on Twitter who has my name. If you go to More or Less on Twitter, he's going to redirect you to my Twitter page because he keeps getting harassed. So Brunch or Less with one S. You can also find me on, you know, various online outlets like Spotify and Google Play and iTunes and the whole like.
Great. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for joining me. And I'm going to play out with Hate Rap. Thank you.
I don't like rap. I don't like rap. But I like you. I don't like rap. But I like you.
Cash love it. Cash love it. And they ain't even into rap.
Far from the norm. And very proud of that fact. No slack is ever taken. Bring raps to save your bacon. Like a whole wheat flour tortilla. We receive it on a daily basis. Yeah, we got power. Lyrics in the tracks. They make a statement that your average local cap gun-toting thug can't hack. Like Johnny Lee Miller. Zero cool like a pool on the roof. You're a prank act. Me, I just rock it to a full house. Thumbs up saying, you got it, dude.
Drop the tube. Not enthused with fake accents. Rap how we talk. We live and take action. From the north down to south by southwest. The type of house guests that get the good couch bed.
No doubt, friend.
This ain't disposable property.
Our crown stays fresh.
Like local broccoli. So probably the probability of giving props to you is like if more or less just stop watching Doctor Who, Violets and Maybachs.
We don't display that.
You say that we're fake cats.
Yo, how should we take that?
Skills in your face, Jack.
And you can't replace that. It's word bird.
Loved by people who hate rap.
Violets and Maybachs.
We don't display that.
You say that we're fake cats.
How should we take that?
Skills in your face, Jack.
And you can't replace that.
It's more or less
loved by people who hate rap.
Can get on hot shit, rocking any topic, ticking all the boxes and never have to jock shit. Anybody else is doing that's the move that locks kids into a deal where they don't feel to be themselves an option. Guess we're the exception, rapping with affection. In this cold war regime, the glory be defected. Not what you expected. We got the glow like Destro, armed with words that shine off the dome.
Like styrofoam, pack up your preconceptions and seek the unique speak weaved into these sections.
Beats infected
your entire anatomy, proving that rap ain't what you thought it had to be. Casually, we're never sounding crabby. Save the period drama for Downton Abbey
or Frown Academy.
Not getting tipped, yo, you can't hate rap if you're not into this. Violets and Maybachs,
we don't display that.
You say that we're fake cats,
yo, how should we take that?
Skills in your face, Jack,
and you can't replace that. It's word bird,
loved by people who hate rap.
Violets and Maybachs,
we don't display that.
You say that we're fake cats,
how should we take that?
Skills in your face, Jack,
and you can't replace that.
It's more or less
loved by people who hate rap.
Unheardnerd.com.